Translation.
O demigods, fulfilling one's own interests is so important that one may even have to make a truce with one's enemies. For the sake of one's self-interest, one has to act according to the logic of the snake and the mouse. Responsively, please repeat. O demigods, fulfilling one's own interests is so important that one may even have to make a truce with one's enemies. For the sake of one's self-interest, one has to act according to the logic of the snake and the mouse. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A snake and a mouse were once caught in a basket. Now, since mouse is food for the snake, this was a good opportunity for the snake. However, since both of them were caught in the basket, even if the snake ate the mouse, the snake would not be able to get out. Therefore, the snake thought it wise to make a truce with the mouse and asked the mouse to make a hole in the basket so that both of them could get out. The snake's intention was that after the mouse made the hole, the snake would eat the mouse and escape from the basket through the hole. That is called the logic of the snake and the mouse. Yes. Arayopi hi sandeya sati karyartha gaurave ahi mushika vaddeva hi artasya padavim gatai. O demigods, fulfilling one's own self-interest is so important that one may even have to make a truce with one's enemies. For the sake of one's self-interest, one has to act according to the logic of the snake and the mouse. Our business is, in the human form of life, to utilize everything in the service of Lord Krishna so that we can get free from the cycle of birth and death. We are suffering in the material world due to our false identification with this material body. We suffer old age, disease, death, and rebirth. It's not that death is the end of our suffering. Again we are born, and again we have to go through the same miserable conditions. The material world is literally no place for a gentle man. Janma mrityu jara vyadi dukha dosha anudarshanam. Krishna, Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he explains that this is part of the aggregate called knowledge, to realize that there is no happiness in this material world. There are so many miseries, adidaivik, adibhautik, adhyatmik klesha, miseries caused by nature, so many miseries. The weather is always, in the winter, it's very, very cold. In the summer, it's very, very hot. There's always storm, lightning. There's always distress in terms of weather. Misery is caused by the infirmity of our own body. Even as a young man, we may be inflicted with so many types of disease. But especially as we start to get old, and all the elements, all the organs of the body, they begin to break down, and you start to have liver problems, kidney problems, varicose veins, heart problems, hair falling out, this, that, the other thing. So many different miseries that most of us here in this room are not aware of yet, because we're all relatively young. But the fact is, that as the body begins to break down in the material world, people have to take more and more drugs, more and more intoxication, so that they can just tolerate the misery of the material world. And of course, miseries caused by other living beings, there are myriad different varieties, because especially at the present moment in our envious civilization, in our civilization of Grihamedes, where people are simply competing with one another, they call it the dog-eat-dog rat race. In this civilization, living beings are constantly causing so much suffering to other living beings. Human beings, men cause so much distress to other men, and of course there are so many types of miseries between the different species, especially germs and microbes. They cause distress to other living beings in the form of so many diseases. So no intelligent man can reasonably suggest that this material world is a nice place. But unfortunately, because people have no knowledge of any higher existence, therefore they accept it as substantial. They accept it as reality. They don't have any other information. Therefore, what can they do? But at least an intelligent person, in the Vedanta Sutra, the very first verse, atato brahma jigyasa. The human form of life is meant for utilizing one's intelligence to try to understand a superior existence. If you don't, then you cannot claim to be a member of the human civilization. You cannot claim to be civilized. According to the Vedic standard, if someone is simply interested in eating, sleeping, mating and defending, ahar nidra bhai maitun, dharmena hina pashubi samanaha, without spiritual knowledge, without dharma, without some quest, some attempt to understand the absolute truth, dharmena hina pashubi samanaha, pashu means animal. So you may be a dvipad pashu, a two-legged animal, or you may be a four-legged animal, or a three-legged animal, or whatever. But animal is animal. We have to judge by the activities and the consciousness. We have to judge by the guna and by the karma, the qualities and the work. Just because someone occupies a particular body does not mean that he's qualified to be called a human being. We see very often many human beings act in a very abominable way. Worse, far worse than the animals. They don't even deserve to be called animals because they're lower than animals. For example, animals will never kill their own offspring. In the womb, especially, such a great crime. In fact, the most abominable thing, which we find even in India, mostly in India actually, is that people from so-called respectable families, they undergo what is known as sonography, which is a technique for determining the gender of the fetus. And if they don't like the particular gender, which is the particular living being, his or her gender, if they don't like what is going to take birth, then they go for abortion. It's so abominable, we can't even imagine. Or we hear about the atrocities going on in Somalia or Ethiopia or Yugoslavia, or even in America, you find atrocities being committed, human beings committing the most abominable atrocities against their fellow men. So how can these people, such persons, how can they claim to be civilized or even human beings according to the Vedic standard? The Vedic standard is there so that we can understand who will be qualified to enter into the kingdom of God. Who is eligible? Who is eligible for liberation? In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains, Yamhi na vyatyantyete purusham purushartava samadukha sukham dhiram somri tattvaya kalpate amri tattvaya kalpate. Someone who is eligible for liberation, eligible for going back home, back to Godhead, eligible for making a permanent solution to the problems in the material world, such a person must be free from the bodily conception of life. Vyata means the miseries. And these miseries are all centered around the bodily conception. So, just in the very beginning, someone has to at least be free from the desire for material enjoyment. He should understand that this sukh and dukh, the happiness and distress that we experience in terms of the senses, this is not our real self-interest. Here, Lord Vishnu is instructing the demigods, which includes Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, about their self-interest. But the word used here, artasya, artasya padavim gatai, their self-interest. But this word artha, artasya, is also sometimes used to refer to material gain. So, in one sense, your self-interest means your material self-interest, what facility that you have for sense gratification. And very often we find that the demigods, being surrounded by material opulence, bhogaisvarya prasaktanam tayaparita chetasam, they become aparita chetasam, bewildered in mind. It happens. The more we get material opulence, the more we have nice cars and nice houses and nice appliances, televisions, this, that, the other thing, the more we forget about our spiritual duty, the more we forget about our the difference between the soul and the body, the more we become bewildered, entangled. We think that these facilities are meant for our sense gratification. And we think that by increasing them, we'll get more sense gratification and we'll come closer to happiness. But Prahlad Maharaj uses a different word. Gatim. Natevidu swarda gatim. He, Vishnu. He says that self-interest means service to Vishnu, service to Krishna, spiritual direction. This is our self-interest. Gati. Of course, gati means, sometimes the word gati is used to mean the mind, the flickering of the mind, the wavering of the mind. So the mind is constantly traveling. Gati comes from gachanti, to go, to move. So the mind is constantly moving in the material world. Here, we find is the key, our real friend, our real enemy. This is the crux of the matter, our mind. Our mind can be our best friend, or our mind can be our worst enemy. We can be in heaven or hell and be perfectly peaceful if our mind is controlled. And we can be in heaven or hell and be perfectly miserable if our mind is uncontrolled. So, Prahlad Maharaj says that one's self-interest is to fix the mind on Vishnu or Krishna. And here, Lord Vishnu is explaining to the demigods. Of course, it's interesting. He's talking, in one sense, he's talking about their ascension, their regaining their supremacy over the demons. Because the demigods in their kingdom, in the heavenly planets, they enjoy unlimited sense gratification. There's no restrictions for them. They have the best facility for sense gratification. In fact, it's very hard for them to realize that the material world is a miserable place. It's very difficult because they're always enjoying. So Vishnu, in one sense, he's giving them some good advice how they can achieve their self-interest in terms of their material situation. But actually, the instructions given by Vishnu are appropriate for one's spiritual self-interest. Because, and this is, we can take note, the logic of the snake and the mouse. Basically, this is a story from Panchatantra about the snake and the mouse, part of the Vedic scriptures, corollary literatures, Smritis, the Puranas, and Pancharatras, etc. They are corollary and they back up, they reinforce. And there are so many stories which describe different elements, different strategies, different ways in which we can achieve the ultimate goal, which we can make the best use of our situation here in the material world. So this example of the snake and the mouse is nice in the sense that even to achieve your material self-interest, you have to be very cunning. You have to be very smart. You have to be very intelligent. You can't achieve anything in the world without using your intelligence. And similarly, to achieve perfection spiritually, we cannot afford to be dull. We have to be awake. Krishna consciousness means at least to always be alert or conscious. Where is Krishna? How can I find Krishna? Where is he coming? Where can I hear about Krishna, learn about Krishna? How can I make more progress? A devotee has to be constantly alert. He has to be on the edge, practically, just like the expression, the audience was sitting on the edge of its seat. So does it mean literally that 95% of the seat was empty and the audience were just sitting on the edge? No, it means that the audience was very alert, in tune to what the performance was, what was happening on the stage, what the speaker was saying, or what the drama was portraying. People were very excited, enthused. So a devotee, he has to be always enthusiastic, utsahan, nischayat daryat, tatat karma, pravartanat. He has to be enthusiastic, he has to persevere. Spiritual life is not easy. We have been wandering in the material world for many, many lifetimes. Brahmanda Brahmite. We have been wandering throughout the universe for many, many lifetimes, trying to experience complete happiness, trying to experience in the realm of sense gratification, we've been trying to find real happiness, our self-interest. But until we stop all this wandering, until we focus our mind on Vishnu, we will not achieve our real self-interest. So, in order to do that, we have to be intelligent. And especially we are talking these last few days about strategies for preaching. Of course, as members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, we are privy to, we are exposed to, we are eligible for the mercy of the Lord. Of course, anyone can chant Hare Krishna. Anyone can stay in his home and chant the holy name of the Lord and execute devotional service. And he can make slow progress. But one can make very quick progress by taking up the preaching mission, because one is very dear to the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains that those who preach this message, natchatasman manusheshu kaschin me priyakritama, they're very dear to me who preach my glories, who preach this message of the Gita to the non-devotees. So to become a member of this mission is something special. You're putting yourself in the line of Krishna's mercy, and with that mercy one can make very quick progress. But in order to be a preacher, we have to use our intelligence all the time. We have to be very smart, and we have to calculate that at the present moment we are, in one sense, at least from the materialistic point of view, we are insignificant. People really, they see us as something amusing at best and troublesome at worst, an annoyance, a nuisance, or at best something funny when you're out on Saturday night with your wife and family going to the movies or going to the liquor shop or whatever, and things are a little dull, and here are these funny people dancing on the street. And it's amusing, something to look at and talk about as you go into the liquor shop or go into the movie, something to keep you occupied. But people, not very many people, understand who we are, what we are trying to do, and what we possess, what knowledge we possess. We are not yet very much recognized. The government is not coming forward to offer us assistance. Nobody is really responding. It will take time. So we are insignificant, and the fact is that we are inconvenienced by the materialistic civilization. It is very, very difficult for us to live here. Everything that we buy from the store, food items, they're totally contaminated, and they go against our principles. Everything has some kind of meat product in it, or some kind of grain cooked by non-devotees, sinful food. The laws are designed to encourage atheism. The whole society is geared towards sense gratification, bodily identification. It's going completely against our grain. It's going completely against our direction. So we have to be smart how to get the maximum effect to our preaching. So sometimes we may have to make a truce with materialistic men. We may have to, for the time being, utilize their things for our service. For example, we are using this microphone. Now, we have no need, in one sense, for a microphone. It is not our business to build a big factory and manufacture microphones. Our business, we are interested in Krishna. We are trying to become brahmanas, higher class men. Brahma jana titi brahmana. A brahmana is one who knows about spirit. A brahmana is one who has no interest in the material world. So there's no need for us. Sometimes people ask the question, if everybody becomes Krishna conscious, then what will happen to the rest of the world? If everybody becomes Krishna conscious, who will build the motor cars? Who will build the television sets? Who will build the rocket ships? If everybody sits and chants Hare Krishna. Well, there's no need to worry. There will always be sudras. And the sudras will always do these things. We don't need to worry. But our business as brahmanas is anasaktasya vishayan yatarham upayunjataha nirbandha krishna sambande yuktam vairagyam uchite. By the mercy of Rupa Goswami, we can utilize everything that is available in the service of Krishna. Although we have no business to create a microphone factory, but seeing as how some sudra has created this, so we can utilize it in Krishna's service. And similarly, any other kind of knowledge or facility which will help us to preach the glories of the Lord, which will help us, for example, we are using tape recorders, we are using videos, not only for our preaching, but for our own Krishna consciousness, to help us focus. We tape the kirtan and listen to the kirtan in our spare time, or we tape the lecture, or we do so many things with a tape recorder. So this is again the same kind of logic as the snake and the mouse. Practically, spiritual life is very practical. It is not whimsical. It is very practical. And we have to use our intelligence consulting amongst all the Vaishnavas, because we do have to be careful. Again, tayaparita chetasam, we can become bewildered. But we have to take that chance in order to get the maximum effect in our preaching. Our interest is swadagatam hi Vishnu. But there is ample instruction, actually. Dharmasya hi apavargasya nartasya, what is that? Dharmasya hi apavargasya narto rutayopakalpate. Nartasya, the same word, arthasya, means material gain in this verse. Nartasya dharmaikantasya kamo labaya hi smritaha. Whatever facility that we may acquire, material facility, it should not be used for sense gratification. That's the key. The scriptures, the acharyas, they have anticipated that we will acquire so many facilities. But they are warning us that we have to be very careful. We have no one else to blame but ourselves. We are equipped with the complete science. It's very nice when you have the complete vision, just like so many devotees were telling us after the seminars the last couple of days. They were telling us that, yes, in our zone we have made some progress in the area of congregational development, but we didn't have the complete picture how to bring the whole program to a higher stage, to a perfect stage. So now that we've got a more complete picture, we're feeling very satisfied and we're feeling very confident that we can achieve great success. So when one has the complete picture, he can make very quick progress. So in spiritual life, we have the complete picture. We have a very broad perspective of religion. We know what is perfect religion. Paro dharmo, savai pung sang paro dharmo, yato bhaktira dhokseje, ahoy tukya pratyata, yayatma suprasiddhati. We know what will satisfy every living being. We can confidently preach to the non-devotees because we have a complete picture, and we have to add our common practical intelligence. Organized preaching means organized common sense. It's really common sense, but we have to be alert to this, always awake, using our intelligence. So I'll stop there. Are there any questions or comments? Yes. Is it possible to engage in preaching? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Stani stita. You stay in your home. That's no problem. But you try to share Jare Deko Tare Kaho Krishna Upadesh and get his address, as I said earlier. You can preach whoever you meet, you can preach. Preaching means a manifestation of your compassion that you have realized by making progress in Krishna consciousness. One who has got life, he can preach. Bhaktisiddhanta used to say, one who has got life, a dead man, he can't preach. Or someone who has no utsa, no enthusiasm. But a devotee, paradukha-dukhi, he suffers by seeing people suffering. Tears come to his eyes when he thinks about the suffering of the people in Yugoslavia or the people in Somalia or Ethiopia or Bangladesh or in Frankfurt, or there's so many people suffering everywhere. You don't have to look very far. Mental pain is far greater than physical pain. In the wars in Korea, Vietnam, even in China and so many other modern day wars, we find that torture is of the mental kind. People, the enemy tortures their prisoners with so many mental types of tortures. So we find in the Western world there may be, due to some good karma, physical amenities, but people are suffering due to lack of understanding, vision, lack of Krishna consciousness. A devotee should feel compassion. He should be moved by that and want to share with people, even at the risk of his own life, or at least at the risk of some dishonor. The devotee sukha dukhe same kritva. The devotee has to be equal in happiness and distress, in honor and dishonor. Amanina mana dena. Even if nobody offers respect to you, still you have to, it's your duty to go out and preach. You may not feel like that initially, but if you try to follow the footsteps of the Vaishnavas, Mahajano Yena Gata Sapantaha, the path, the Pantha, if you follow the great devotees, you'll come to see, you'll get that compassion, you'll realize how people are suffering. Any other questions? Yes. Jaya Nishimadeva. One can go up to the point of accepting initiation. We're busy making progress up to the point of accepting a guru. You may accept a guru internally or externally, but you have to accept a guru, because this teaching is avaroha pantha. It is descending knowledge. It is coming down through preceptorial line, disciplic succession. It is adhoksaja. It is beyond the purview of your mental speculative power. Krishna is adhoksaja. You cannot understand him by your senses. Ataha Sri Krishna namadi nabhaved grayam indriyai. Indriya there. Senses. We acquire knowledge by the empirical method through the senses. But Krishna is not captured by your senses. You have to receive Krishna from another devotee. Only the devotee of the Lord can give you Krishna. Krishna agrees to be the property of his devotee. That Krishna says, I come down through my devotee. One who says he is a devotee, my devotee is not name bhakta partha. How's that go? Ye me bhakta jana partha. One who says he is my devotee, he is not my devotee. One who says he is a devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So you have to become a disciple of Krishna's devotee. And if you are accepting internally, then why not externally? If you're accepting siksha, then why you should not accept diksha? What is the reason? So everyone has to take a Vaishnav diksha to make progress. Any dispute? Any other questions? Yes? Yes, these scriptures are not the main scriptures. They are not Shruti. It is more rare to find out Krishna, to find out Lord Chaitanya in Shruti. It is possible, but the Vaishnav scriptures, even other sampradayas, are not aware of our Gaudiya Vaishnav scriptures. Or, even otherwise, the mundane wranglers are expert at interpreting the scriptures according to their own whimsical desire. Just like, to give you an example, maybe you have heard of Shankaracharya, the Bhajagovinda verse. Everyone knows that, Bhajagovinda, 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 Mudhamate. So, some people, they interpret that verse, that Bhajagovinda, Bhajagovinda, Bhajagovinda. You fools, you rascals, you worship Govinda. So, what can be done with such people? Others, they say that one of Shankaracharya's gurus was named Govinda. So, you change. Every Prabhupada talks about the chicken. You know that story? The housewife sent her husband to the market to get a chicken. So she sent her husband out to Colonel Saunders. Now this is in India. She sent him to the marketplace to get a chicken. So he went to the marketplace, and there were so many people selling chickens that he didn't know what to do. Everyone was saying, buy my chickens. I have the fattest chickens. Buy mine. So then he was a little smart. He thought, fat is the good quality of chicken. So instead of paying a high price for a fat chicken, he went to the fat market. And there, again, he found that everybody was selling fat, but everybody was saying, buy my fat. I have the best fat. My fat is as smooth as oil. So he thought, oil is the good quality of fat. So then he went to the oil market. And there, everybody was saying, buy my oil. My oil is as clear as water. He thought, water is the good quality of oil. So he took his wife a bucket of water, and she poured it on his head. So, the people, they interpret Sanskrit in this way, and if they don't want to find Lord Chaitanya, they won't find him. Just like there's a sect in India, they call Swami Narayan. Well, there's a couple of them, actually. Also the Ballabas. More appropriately, the Pushtimargis, those who follow Ballabhacharya. So, they have got all the same stories as we have about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They have so many stories about Ballabhacharya Mahaprabhu. And it's the funniest thing. They'll interpret every verse that we take from the Bhagavatam to mean Ballabhacharya. Although he was a vantasi, he was a sannyasi, he was a grihastha, he took sannyas, and then later on he went back to his family. That's known as vantasi, someone who eats his own vomit. So, somehow they want to glorify him. There are no brahmacharis, no sannyasis in their line, all grihasthas. And they're quite happy with that. And they justify it on the basis of Ballabhacharya, and they call him Mahaprabhu, and they glorify him. But how they do that, I could never figure out. So, people, if they don't want to find the truth, that's what they do. They concoct so many philosophies to support their sense gratification, their lack of surrender. Isn't it? You find that? You're all philosophers. You all talk to people everywhere. It's the same business, right? Cheating. No integrity. Just to support my sense gratification, I can speak any nonsense. Mati channa hai. Any other questions? Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.